we've demolished some old things and we've gotten rid of some old things and we're ready to build upon a solid foundation of trust in God and His Word. And are you ready to build upon that today? Are you ready to build upon that in the next couple of months? I'm here to define what the trust challenge is. Many of you were here last year, you participated in it, and this year we're taking it to a whole new level. Don't even think about what we did last year. I mean, we were in a different place. We're doing something different. But the trust challenge, to put it simply, it's a season in which we as a faith community focus on intensely focus on trusting God in every area of our life. And that's what we want to do. We want to trust God with everything. Everything. Don't you want to trust God with everything? Every minute detail of our lives. A lot of times we spend our effort and our attention, we trust God with the big things, the things that we think are big, but then the small details, like, I can handle that myself, don't you? I want to read this age-old scripture in the Proverbs that we're basing our theme on the trust challenge this year. It's based in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and probably you memorized it as a kid in Sunday school. Hopefully we can breathe some new meaning into this old passage today, and as we continue through the trust challenge. But open, if you will, in your Bibles, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the scripture on the screen for you. If it's not forever etched in your memory as a result of being in Sunday school, follow along on the screen with us. It says, trust in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Perhaps that scripture has become a little too just commonplace for you. Like, you just memorized it as a kid, and it's just something you just kind of quote every now and then. And it's become just like a religious phrase for you. Oh, trust in the Lord with all your heart, brother. Lean not on your own understanding. But it hasn't, like, sunk deep down within you. Depending, and I like to do this sometimes, depending on which word you emphasize, you're going to get a different perspective on the scripture. And on anything, really, depending on the word that you emphasize. Like, put this phrase up on the screen that I have there, guys. It's this phrase, I never said she stole my money. We're going to practice something. Depending on the emphasis that you place on the word, you'll have a different meaning. So let's practice. I never said she stole my money. 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 You see the emphasis, how you place different emphasis? Like, she could have stole something else, I guess. But depending on the emphasis that you place on the words, you're going to get a different perspective, a different context for what you're saying, right? And that applies in every area of life. So if you're, you know, if some of you are struggling with with your speech, then you need to, you know, take a look at that. Hopefully you'll never have to utter those seven words again in your life with any form of emphasis. But let's try that. Let's try that on this scripture here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How does this change your perspective? Okay, so trust. Let's put the emphasis on trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So what does trust mean? Trust means to have confidence. Trust means to be fully convinced, to be fully persuaded, fully convinced and know that God is able, that God is not just able, but that He's willing to perform and watch over His word to perform it. That the Hebrew connotation has this idea of putting all your weight on something, to trust in something. You put all your weight. You're exhibiting trust today as you're putting all your weight upon the chair that you're seated upon. One of the ways we like to illustrate this, like growing up in church, was the infamous trust fall. Anybody ever do the trust fall? We're not going to try that today because here's... And if we did, let me just explain. If you grew up in church and you went to youth group at all, you know what the trust fall is, where you have a group of people, and a lot of times it's a bunch of scrawny teenagers that are, you know, forming a line. They're locking hands like this, locking hands in place, and you kind of stand backwards and you fall into their arms. And I've experienced many epic failures of the trust fall in my days as a youth pastor and just in doing ministry in general. I'll tell you one. I was at North Greenville College at the time. Now it's North Greenville University. and doing my undergraduate degrees for Christian studies, and they had these things called impact teams. And we would go out through the Baptist Student Union. We would go out, you'd get on a team, and you could go to different churches and do ministry for a weekend. So one weekend, myself and the team that I was working with, we went to do a lock-in for a church, a small Baptist church. And so we're outside, and we're playing like hide-and-go-seek in the cemetery. And really creepy, man. It's really weird. But that's what you did, a lock-in, just have fun, eat pizza, and then do the trust fall. So we're doing the trust fall. And a lot of times the trust fall takes place in like, oh man, I need to come down here. The trust fall would take place like you're this high, like on top of a chair, you know. And so it's not really, it's not really a high level of trust that you're exhibiting in the people that are catching you. If you fall, you're not going to get hurt. It's okay. But they had a playground at this place, and there was a slide that was probably about 10 feet up. And me, being like a 20-year-old stupid person at the time, I'm going to get on top of this 10-foot slide, and I say, okay, guys, it's time for the trust fall, and I'm not going to endanger any of these kids because the church would be held liable and somebody would get sued. But I'll do it. I want to say that why did I do this? I stood up on top of this this playground equipment, and I wasn't going to fall backwards because I knew that could end up badly. I wanted to see what was going to take place. So we got these kids, and there was probably like 8 kids, and most of them were like middle schoolers. We had some, that were close to Josh's size, like nobody could really get there, but some that were like, I had some confidence that they might could be able to catch me. So I strategically placed them right in the middle, so all my weight would be right there, you know. And so here I am at the top of the deal, and I'm like, okay, I trust you. Falling. Forward and flat on my face. I mean, just enough of being braced to like cushion the fall a little bit, so I didn't like break any bones. But it was painful. It was painful. And so that was a trust fall. That was a trust fall fail. And that's put all your weight on something. That's what it means to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. And that says, hey, only God is worthy of all of our trust, right? Only God is one who's trustworthy completely. Man and machine will always let us down, but Jesus never fails. Trust in the Lord. What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your own ability? Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in your understanding and your brain power? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we put the emphasis on heart, and again, brings a different connotation. The heart, as we learned in the previous series, is really the center of our being. It encompasses the essence of who we are, our soul and our spirit. We're in this perspective here, we're encouraged to trust God to the core, the very core of who we are. Deep down, we're encouraged to trust. It's not just this mental assent, oh God, I trust you, I agree with that, but really trust him at our very core. So, in the first part of this passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart, this is most commonly how I've broken it down in the past for myself when I'm reading it. Okay, trust, Lord, heart. But there's another word in there that I have failed to emphasize in the past, and it's the word all. Everybody say all.
All.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, this implies that it's possible for us to trust in the Lord half-heartedly, or even like a quarter-heartedly, or even three-quarter-heartedly. I believe the root of the trust challenge is found in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The true challenge is really an age-old battle. We talk about the trust challenge, trusting God. It's really, are we going to trust God with all of our heart, or are we going to trust God or trust in our own understanding, rather? So it's an age-old battle. You have in one corner, weighing in at an average of 8 pounds, the human brain, robed in understanding, robed in rationalization. One corner you have the human brain. And the other corner, encompassing the core of the inner man, topping off the scale with passion and unabashed love, the heart. Not the physical organ that pumps your blood, but the center of your being. So the full challenge here, the complete challenge, the total challenge, is whether we'll trust God fully with all of our heart, or whether we'll give in to our own understanding, even if only a little. So throughout the trust challenge, we're endeavoring to trust God at a higher level. Could you admit today that you could grow in your trust in God? I think over time, our trust has a tendency to grow, but if we're not developing it, our trust has a tendency to wane a little bit, doesn't it? Or our trust can migrate, as we learned last year. Our trust can migrate to various things. We're trusting in different things depending on where we're focused. This is what we're endeavoring to do at this trust challenge, to increase our trust level, to trust God at a higher level. If we've been trusting God at 25% and leaning to our own understanding at 75%, it's highly likely that our decisions are skewed and thus our direction has been messed up. We're going in the wrong direction. I know that our trust level can increase because I've experienced this personally. Mine has. Last week during the offering, I told you about the $680, and I'll recap that story for those of you who weren't here. We had a baby, and babies cost money. My wife had the anesthesia. I wanted some. They wouldn't give it to me, but she had it, and we have to pay for it. And our insurance had maxed out at $4,000. Beyond that, we're responsible. And so we had a bill for close to $1,800, $1,700, something like that. We call the company, call the anesthesiologist, and say, hey, here's our situation. Can you help a brother out? Can you help a sister? I didn't do the calling. Kristen did. Can you help a sister out? And so they said, yeah, sure. We will. If you pay right now, since you're self-pay, if you pay right now, we'll cut it in half, 50%. And so Kristen, I'm in a meeting. Kristen comes, interrupts me, and she says, hey, they said this, and it's going to be $680. And I said, yeah, pay for it. And she's like, with what money? I said, with the credit card. So we put it on the credit card, and yeah, we're really trusting God here, trusting in our Visa. So we put it on the credit card. And so in this situation, I'm like, yes, you know, you could certainly rejoice over that you're not having to pay the full amount, right? But for me, I was like, I was still bummed out because I got to pay $680. And like that whole week this was probably like a Tuesday or a Wednesday that took place. Sunday night, we were having a trust challenge intensive. And from that time, I was just stressed out, man. You ever been there? You ever been like, you ever stayed up at night worrying? Like, how are you going to pay somebody? Is this too real for you? Maybe you're wiping your eyes right now because you were up last night worried about how you're going to pay the bill tomorrow. And this was my reality. I'm like, I'm wanting to get out of debt, yet I'm piling on more because of what we have to do here to meet this need. And so I began to, you know, like I'm a finagler in my head. I began to finagle some situations. How can I make more money? How can I do this to how can I figure it out myself? Really? Yeah, you've been there? And all this time is taking place in between that Tuesday and Sunday. Sunday night we come in, we're at the Trust Challenge Intensives, and we go to our small group, and in our seat is an envelope. And Kristen, it's got her name on it, and Kristen puts it in her Bible. And then after the thing was over, she comes and finds me. She says, hey, this was on our seat. And I said, well, okay, let's open it up. Open it up. It's $680 cash. And exactly the amount we needed to meet our need. And I just began to weep. I just began to cry and just in amazement of God, because to me, I was worried about something that he had already taken care of. I was trying to figure out something that all he wanted me to do was just trust in him. That was probably at like, I don't know, 25% trust level. But don't you know that like after Sunday night, I open a envelope full of cash and it's the exact amount that I needed that my trust level increased them? Don't you know that every time something like that happens, you can increase in your trust? So that's what we are endeavoring to do is increase in our trust level as we participate in the trust challenge. And this isn't just those who say I'm going to do the trust challenge intensives or whatever on Sunday nights. This is for everybody as a whole. We as a church, we are participating in the trust challenge, so come along with us. What can we expect to take place? We can expect direction. We can expect wholeness. We can expect provision. And I see that because it's outlined in the scripture. If we'll continue to read in Proverbs 3, and I'm wrapping my part up here and we'll watch another video. But if we'll continue to read in verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So there's direction. You can know that God's going to lead you and guide you as you're trusting him. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Look at all this that's flowing out of this already. You've got direction. You've got healing for your flesh, strength for your bones. You've got wholeness. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. He's speaking of provision there. And not just provision, but abundance. And where does this all come from? Trust. It all flows from trust. And we're not majoring on any minors here. What we're majoring on is this trust. And trusting God completely. Don't just take my word for it. I want you to check out what Matt Wiley has to say.
So last year I participated in the Trust Challenge, which brought up some memories of something I'd been led to go into before. I'd always felt led to become a teacher, and through the Trust Challenge, that kind of became more and more prevalent, and to the point where I started doing research into what I would need to do and to see what it would require for me to become a teacher. So that was what I got out of the Trust Challenge that has led me to the point where now I am currently in school to become a middle school teacher, and within 2 years I will have my bachelor's for middle school education. To say that you trust God in every area, I can't say that. I know there's areas I'm weak in. And it really came to light because I had told myself that I was done with school, that I was done. This is it. I'm not going back to school. I'm definitely not going to become a teacher. Those words had left my mouth on several occasions. So to say I was trusting God with my future and what he had planned for me probably wasn't accurate. There's a big difference between saying I trust God and then fully launching out into it. And that's what this did. It encouraged you to fully launch out into an area to truly trust. If there's something that you're thinking about or something that you may have had an inkling for, I encourage you to come to the Trust Challenge. It can bring up those memories. You can have new light shed on things or things that you had forgotten about brought back to your remembrance. It's a small sacrifice for something that can impact your life in a very big way.
Amen.
So during this season, hi, I'm Eddie, by the way. During this season of the Trust Challenge, we're going to do something special. And that is every Sunday night, we're going to have an intensive. Now, intensive is just where we gather together and we're going to focus intently on trusting God. Now, last season when we did this, it was we started off focusing on our finances. And one reason we focused on our finances in the beginning was because if I can trust God with my finances, trust God in my giving, trust God with my tithes and offerings, my money represents my life, and it translates right over, and then I can start trusting God with my life. We had people who, when they signed up last year for the Trust Challenge, they came to the intensives. And intensives are every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and there should have been a slide produced for me to point at, but they didn't get that. But they start next Sunday night. They start next Sunday night, February the 8th, and they'll go right through all those other days that are there on the supposed-to-be slide. But, oh, and by the way, I wanted them to start tonight because I don't have anybody playing a ball game that I care anything about tonight. But they wouldn't do it tonight, so we're starting next week. So anyway, so we start next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. But we had people who signed up for the Trust Challenge, came to the intensives, not really knowing what to get out of it. But let me tell you this up front. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. The law of sowing and reaping will work in this. You put some effort into it. You show up. You listen intently. You learn how to follow God, obey. You're going to get results out of it. So you're only going to get out of it what you put in it. But you, what we'll do in those periods of time is we will empower you. We will strengthen you. We will encourage you. We're going to share the Word of God with you. This is not a, some book we bought or some lesson we're using or DVD series that we got. This is God showing us and you how we can trust Him. And then we're going to, then we'll do it. Then we'll work through it. You'll break out into small groups every time. There'll be a little homework assignment. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to deal with some stuff. You're going to have to look at your life. You're going to have to look at if you really trusted Him fully or not. But if you will do it, you'll reap a huge benefit. What happened last time is people started into the Trust Challenge, you know, going to trust God with this money challenge or a finance challenge. And when they came out of it, because they did that as they went through, we had people who had been told they could not have children. It was just like, you can't do it. The stuff is all blocked up. It's not going to work. Well, they trusted God, and they had a child. Child, I mean, the child's here today. I don't know if it's here today, but it's here in Augusta today. I mean, we had people who had insurmountable debt. Huge stuff that through trusting God before the year was over, it was all wiped away, taken care of. I'm talking about miracle kind of stuff. I'm talking about almost like parting the Red Sea kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, big. Those things happen because people learned in those trust intensives. They were challenged. And then they took something home. They worked on something. And then in that small group of sharing, revealing, encouraging one another, they grew. And they learned that they really weren't trusting God. But they began to trust God. And the more they trusted God, the more God worked on their behalf. And they saw change. Now, young people, you come. Oh, you know, if you probably polled everybody over here on this side, who's older than you guys, and ask them if they'd had the opportunity to learn this stuff at your age, what difference it would make. If, you know, don't wait till you're 54 to learn. Because I was in it last year. If I'd had this when I was 18, think of the difference it would have made in my life. So young people, this is for you. Y'all come. We'll put you in a small group. You won't have to talk in my group. You won't have to be in my group. But y'all come, and we'll put you in something that with people your age, but you'll grow. That's what these intensives are about. Oh, you're going to get so much out of it. You've got to come. Now, let me tell you that there's not going to be any TV show. There's no sporting event. There's no days at the lake. There's no extra hours of relaxation that's going to outweigh the benefit you get from being in these Trust Challenge intensives. It's just not going to be there. The biggest giants in your life will fall if you put it, if you show up at these Trust Challenge intensives and put everything, put all your heart into it, you'll get there. God wants you to trust Him, and in you trusting Him, He's wide open with everything He's got to provide you. He's done it already. He's waiting on you to trust Him. So in these Trust Challenge intensives, we're going to help you get there. That's what we're going to do. Now, I have notes. Okay, so you, what is it? It's going to be a time of fellowship, spending time together, getting information, making friends, developing bonds, sharing, revealing, listening, growing, stretching, learning. Yeah, I think I said all that. So, what are you going to do? 6 o'clock starting next Sunday night. We call them Trust Challenge Intensives. You absolutely, over the top, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, want to be there. Okay, and that's your want. But you got to put something with that want. Put some action with that want and actually show up. Because you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. It's only if you show up are you going to get it. I mean, if we were telling you we're giving out gold bars, you know, 24-karat gold bars, everybody shows up, we'd have a crowd of people here showing up. But I'm telling you that God will move on your behalf if you trust Him, and we're going to help you learn how to 100% trust God with your life. Because He's got good stuff for you. He'll take care of the money issues. He'll take care of all the trouble issues if you trust Him. Trust Him. That's what you want to do. Now, that was a lot shorter than what I'd signed up for, and I probably skipped some stuff. Did I skip something? But I got more and more excited as I was listening, and I thought all my notes went out the window. So what you want to do is show up and trust Him. Sign up, show up, and let's do it. Let's go somewhere we've never been before. We can do this together. That's what the whole thing's about. Making a difference. The reason we are different today and the reason something's happening is because we trusted God. We learned how to trust God last year. I could tell you my stories, but, you know, I could tell you stories of people in my group. It's over the top. It's unbelievable what God did and what God's doing. And He wants to do it for you. So come and show up.
I had some personal, you know, health issues, and I was going to the doctor for a while, and finally we get to the point that I was needing surgery. That there's no other way we can fix this, Vanessa, we need to have surgery. And I kind of like look back at the doctor and I say, well, I can't because, you know, I'm self-employed, I don't have health insurance, and right now $30,000, $40,000 really is not going to work out on my budget. But then she looked at me and she said, you know what, Vanessa, I'm gonna do the surgery for free. You just go ahead and schedule your surgery and I'm gonna do this without cost. And I'm looking at her like, I said, really? Are you sure? I mean, it's a chunk of money for them. And she says, yeah, don't worry. Your job is just go find a hospital that, because she works in two hospitals, and she said, go and find out which one was more affordable for you due to your situation. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, it's like, wow, thank you, God. So I went in my car and I started doing, I called right away both of the hospitals. And I talked to this lady, and she say, I explained my situation. She say, well, since you don't have insurance, the best I can do for you is 50% off. I'm going to cut 50% off of your bill. And since the surgery is $20,000, I'm gonna just cut it in half. And I'm thinking, $10,000. And I'm looking at my, I went home and sit on my desk, and I'm looking at my statements, I'm looking at my bank, my checking account, my savings, and I was like, I said, no, I don't think I can do this. And then the Lord say, I got this, just go forward. And I heard that, and I said, call, and he said, well, the Holy Spirit said, call the lady again. And I say, what I gotta say again? You know, I already told her the whole situation. He said, just call her. So I called, and I said, look, I just called about 30 minutes ago. You know what? Although you say, there's nothing else you can do for me, send me the application. Because she said, oh, due to your income and that stuff, you can qualify for anything. I said, well, you go ahead and send me the application. And well, if they don't take care of it, okay, you know? But this is what I need to do. And she said, well, okay, Vanessa, but she got my address and she just sent the application. So I got the application, I filled it out right away, and I sent it to her. And then she said, you want to book your surgery or you just want to wait? And I said, no, just go ahead and book. And she booked my surgery, and we got with the doctor. We did everything we could, and the day I went to surgery, she even asked me, you know, we haven't heard anything from, you know, from whoever has to say something. I don't know. And I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. She said, don't worry about it. And we went ahead, got the surgery, and after 6 weeks, maybe 6-7 weeks, I was thinking, I haven't got any bill. And I was thinking, maybe it was, you know, they really forgot to bill me or something. So I give her a call, and I say, hey, this is Vanessa Vega. And I said, she said, how are you, Vanessa? Oh, look, I forgot to call you and let you know that the bill has been taken care of. And I was like, no way, yes. Yeah, I said, oh, thank God. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, praise the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. I mean, he took care of the whole thing. It was close to $30,000 between the hospital, the surgery, and everything else, and the medicine, and this and that, and I didn't have to pay anything. If you're thinking doing it or not doing it, I say, go ahead and open your heart to the Lord and see what he has for you. Whatever he's you wishing for, or whatever you like, oh, I wish that, or I wish the Lord is there. We just haven't given the opportunity to open our hearts and say, look, here is, I give it to you. What you got for me? And that's trust, like giving him to him. And he will do whatever you ask for, you wish for, you long for, you need. And not just financially. I'm thinking trust challenge for every area in your life, every single area, your kids, your home, your finances, your husband, your marriage. I mean, you just have to trust and do this. This is a key to opening different other doors for us.
I'm here to go over the commitment cards, and we'll receive our offering for today. But before I do that, I want to read a scripture from Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And we'll start in verse 31, and I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. But let me give you a little background on these verses before I read them. You remember over in Acts 3, Peter and John did the great miracle, performed a miracle. And it caused a big stir in the city and got the religious leaders mad and upset. So they bring Peter and John in and threaten them. They put them in jail first, bring them before the council, threaten them, don't preach in the name of Jesus. And they say that, you know, we have to. And, you know, they make some threats to them about what's going to happen if you continue to do this. And so they go back to the Bible calls it their company. And the way they react to this persecution is to pray. And then they prayed together and lifted up their voices together. And it's an amazing prayer, but I don't have time to read that. But so let's pick it up, the story up in Acts 4, verse 31. At the end of the prayer, just say, when they're saying amen, when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. All filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Now the company of the believers was of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own. But everything they had was in common and for the use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, loving kindness, and favor, and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them. And one by one they gave back the amount received from the sales. and laid it at the feet of the apostles, the special messengers, and then distribution was made according as anyone had need. And you've heard me many times read these verses, you know, read from Acts 2 or Acts 4 or different parts. And I love reading about the early church because these are our people. This is who we're following after. We're an extension of them. But the Bible says that the latter house will be greater than the former. So we're, according to the scriptures, are going to outdo the early church. So I love reading this because this gives me a target to shoot for. We're not there. Good News Church is not there. The body of Christ, we're not there of what's happened in the early church. But it's a standard. It's a place that, you know, we're on the way. We're going in that direction. But I love the language here. They were all filled. That's the pastor's dream. To have everybody on board, everybody together. They were all filled. It says company of believers. It says one heart. You know how difficult that is? You know how difficult it is to have one heart in your home? In your family? Let alone to have one heart in your marriage? It's impossible to do it in a congregation. But I have a dream. One heart, one soul. And then it says, great grace was upon them all. Look at the language. All, everyone. And then I love this part. There wasn't a destitute or needy person among them. I mean, I love transformation. I love changed hearts. I love people growing. I mean, this is a dream. Not a destitute person, no lack. And so my heart today, and I hope your heart is this way, longs for people to come together. And that's one of the things I love about this trust challenge. Well, you know, the early church, they got together daily. We're just asking you to come on Sunday night. But I know in the busyness and the craziness of this world we live in, that's a big responsibility, commitment that we're asking. But we know by asking this, and we know we've seen what the Lord did last year. Extraordinary things. But I have an expectancy of either the greater things for this congregation. So I'm specifically asking God and believing for five things. You know, as the leader of this church, it's my job to cast vision. It's to talk about where we're going. So I was just kind of looking over these verses, meditating on them. And I'm asking for at least five things, and they're big things, to happen from this trust challenge. And you don't worry about writing this down. We'll put this in the bulletin next week or have this somewhere where we can get this. But here's some things I'm believing for. Number one, great unity and harmony at Good News Church. The Bible calls it one accord. And when there's one accord, and look in the book of Acts, great things happened. Miracles, signs and wonders, demonstrations of God's power. So I'm believing for that. The second thing I'm believing for is that the vision of the church will come to pass in a greater way. And there's three parts to our vision: connections. I'm expecting more connections. In fact, the first part of our vision goes, we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other. So I'm believing for a stronger connection with God and a stronger connection with the people that in this church. And we saw that last year, relationships that are going strong today because of what happened in those intensives. More empowerment, more training, more teaching. And then the fruit of all these things, these connections, and this is empowerment, is more reaching of the lost and hurting people. I don't know about you, but I want to see that. I want to impact lives. I want to help people. I want to see lost people find their way. I want to find hurting people be healed. The third thing is, I want to see visions and dreams come in a greater way to the people of Good News Church. It's not just about the vision we have here. I want the Lord to further clarify or maybe you don't know anything about what he has, but for you to see, why are you here? What's your purpose? And if you already have a vision, for your eyes to be opened and to see it in a greater way. And then not only be able to see that vision, but I want tangible parts of it to come to pass in 2015. Not just dream about it, but touch it and feel it and experience it and see it with your eyes coming to pass. The fourth thing is that grace, that great grace. When you have grace on somebody and then you bring people together, that forms great grace. And so great grace, loving kindness, favor, and goodwill will rest richly upon everyone. Everybody say great grace.
Great grace.
Now point to some people and say great grace on you. Great grace on this section. Great grace over here. Great grace right here. And especially great grace right here. Now let's do the wave. We might need to do the wave. Might wake some people up. And last but not least, the needs would be met in every area. I'm not satisfied and content with what happened in 2014. Some extraordinary things. I'm a believer, and I've seen God do a lot in my 30 years, but I saw some extraordinary things in 2014. But I don't want that to stop. And he's talked about to continue that on. You're of extraordinary harvest. So I'm expecting needs to be met in every area. God has more for each one of us. And now the finances are not the primary purpose of the Trust Challenge. But I want to continue to see people moving forward in the financial realm. Finances are a tool to help us bring to pass the vision that God has given us. So finances, although not the main thing, they are important. All righty, so let's go over our cards here. Thank you, honey. All right, we have some things. Well, I'll just go over all the different cards. Does anybody did not receive a bulletin or any of these cards, commitment cards? Raise your hand, ushers. Thank God for our ushers. Some good folks. If you need any of the, for offering cards or the connection cards or the, and we have some commitment cards in there for the Trust Challenge. If you need any of those, raise your hand. It's all found in the bulletin, and the ushers will have that for you. All right, let me just go over a couple of these things here. We have, you were getting them out for me? You're sweet. Susie, you are the sweetest woman in the world. You heard the message last week? They were supposed to destroy that CD. All right, in your bulletin, we have our handy-dandy yellow card, which we use for offering cash gifts, debit or credit card. Put that in the envelope. Then we have our connection cards, and we fill these out every time, whether you're first-time guest or you've been a long-time member. And it is a connection card, a change of address, email, praise reports, prayer requests, signing up for events. That goes on that card. And then the other card in here today is this Trust Challenge card. And if you're in a place where you already know you want to sign up for it, I want you to fill this out and drop it in the basket. But let me read what it says on here. It says, "My Trust Challenge Commitment." It says, check all that apply. The first one, first box. I commit to participate in the trust challenge. I will step up in trusting God and step out in obedience to His Word and His Spirit as He directs me. This includes my family, my finances, my work, and my future. Isn't that awesome? And then the second box, I commit to participate in the Trust Challenge Intensives, TCI, on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And we'll do this all the way through February, starting on next Sunday, all the way through February and March. I am ready to trust God more in every area of my life. And so if you are ready to do that today, check the boxes. And then on the back, it's got a place for husband and wife to fill out your address. And phone numbers are important. Emails are important because we do a lot of communication throughout the whole trust challenge. And then have your signatures on there. And then we have a special Facebook group on there. Mark that so that we can communicate with each other there. And then if you don't have Facebook, use your email. And we'll communicate with you with that. So if you're ready today to make a commitment, mark on here, fill this out. We'll give you some time to do that, and drop that in the offering basket. So we've got the yellow card, green card, and the trust challenge card. And let's just say today you're not ready, and some folks here aren't. I want you to pray about it. And if you want to commit and put that card in the basket on Wednesday, or you can do it on Sunday, next Sunday. And we'll talk a little bit again about next week. Is everybody clear? Questions? If you got questions, ask Susie. Now, I want you to do me a favor as you're preparing your offering today. Can you do me a favor? Do me a favor. I want to be in prayer for you specifically about your needs. I want you to write down, and you can do it on any of the cards, but I prefer probably the connection card or the trust challenge card. I want you to write down a couple of the things, of the big things you'll believe in God for in 2015. And I want to be in prayer about that. I want to believe with you. I want to see those things to come to pass. So do me a favor, write that on your card. And we'll be believing with you. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray and take your time to fill out things, but I'm going to go ahead and pray here and ask for these five things and pray over our offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, you did amazing things last year in 2014 as a result of the Trust Challenge, but I know that you're a God that you do over and above the over and above, and you want to do that in this upcoming trust challenge. So I thank you that you're speaking to people. I thank you, Father, we'll be obedient to you. And they may not even understand what the heck we're doing. But, Father, that something's in their heart saying, I need to be there. So I thank you, Father. And so I am praying, Father, in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for great unity and harmony here at Good News Church. I'm asking you for one accord. I'm asking you for people to come together in a greater way here at Good News Church. And Father, not only at Good News Church, but in the body of Christ here in Augusta. People coming together. I'm asking for the vision, Father, of this church and this ministry to come to pass in a greater way. More connecting, more empowering, more reaching people, Father. I want to see more fruit. I want to see fruit that remains. More laborers sent out to the harvest field. More people going to nations. More people going into their world with the gospel. More people giving life in a greater way. And I'm asking, Father, for you to speak to the people here. Give them a purpose. Give them vision. Give them clarity, what you've already spoken to them. And then, Father, I'm asking you for parts of that vision and dreams in their life to come to pass in 2015, that we may see it, that we may rejoice in it, and experience it in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, I'm declaring great grace, loving kindness, favor, and goodwill will rest upon each person here in Jesus' name. Great grace! Great grace! In this church, as believers, we'd be irresistible in our worlds. Impact people in a greater way for Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for needs to be met in a greater way. Needs being met in marriages. Needs being met in families. Relationships. I'm asking for miracles, Father. I'm asking for signs and wonders and miracles in people's bodies, in their minds, in their finances. You supply all of our needs according to your riches. So just pour out your riches. Pour it out on these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, we bring our tithes and offerings before you today, and we just worship you. And we just praise you and magnify you. You're our source of supply. It's in you we live and move and have our being. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. So you're our source. And so as we bring a portion of what you've blessed us with, Father, it represents our heart. And we long to worship you. We long to praise you. Father, this represents all that we have. We give our all today. And we're so grateful that you give your all to us. And how do we know that? Because you gave us Jesus, your very best. Take this seed sown and multiply it back to those that have given, Father, so they can be even more generous in their lives, even a greater blessing wherever they go. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.